Hi there, my name is Kelly Cody Grimm.
And I'm Max Grimm.
And we are Creative Actors Lab. What we want to do is just talk a little bit about how you can bring creativity into your everyday life. Hey everybody, it's Kelly.
And Max.
And today's podcast is going to be about a subject I am very passionate about. And that's because I've been doing improv for a few decades, also doing corporate trainings, and then also acting coaching. But this is an exercise I really feel very passionate about. And it is an exercise called Yes And. Now, what's important about Yes And is that you stay in the affirmative. And how it can help you create new things, whether you, again, are someone trying to team build in a corporate situation, faith-based organization, any kind of organization, or you're also trying to team build as well within your acting group or your improv troupe. There's just something about our brains sometimes, well, I think a lot of the time, and you've said this, that we just want to go to the negative because it's just easier. Negative energy is easier to go to. And as Max has stated before, negative energy is easier on the front end, but it drains you on the back end. Whereas saying something positive to someone takes a little bit more energy on the front end, but it gives you more energy on the back end. So what we want to do is just talk about how important something like yes and can be in your particular creative endeavors. And what you will find is when you use this as team building, that person in the meetings who is always really super, super quiet, all of a sudden they will jump in because they know that their idea cannot be blocked. And what the premise of Yes And is, you give people a problem that needs solving, and it can be as fantastical as you want it to be. And before anybody adds anything, what they need to start off with is yes and. So let's say you're trying to come up with a product, and I get this one a lot when I work with kids, a machine that helps you fold clothes and put it away. Yes, and it can also vacuum your room. Yes, and it can make the clothes smell fresher. Yes, and it can help you pick out outfits. And everybody keeps on adding more and more levels to it. And then you actually have something that's really kind of fun. And the reason that I bring this up too is I imagine, and I don't know this for sure, but when you're looking at great advertising campaigns and you have something like, let's say, the Aflac Duck. Well, the acronym for Aflac, American Family Life and Casualty of Columbus, is Aflac. So if you were in that advertising meeting and you were pitching that idea, someone may have gone, Aflac, Aflac, Aflac. It sounds like a duck. Yes, and the duck gets irritated when you don't know what the policies are and what Aflac covers. Yes, and all of a sudden people are exchanging ideas. Now, if you had one person in that meeting that said, nope, I don't like ducks, we're not doing ducks, funk the ducks, you would not have had them be able to expand that. But the beauty of yes and is you are able to do that. I also use the example of the Chick-fil-A cows. If somebody had said in that meeting, okay, who in fast food would benefit the most by people eating more chicken? Cows. Yes, and the cows don't spell well and they're disruptors because they want people to understand that they want people to eat more chicken. So those are just some of the creative aspects of it. And, you know, again, it's a great tool for when you are trying to get your team to try and think more creatively.
So there is some neuroscience. Basically, it says if you sustain a particular kind of a thought for 17 seconds, why 17 seconds? I don't know. But if you, whatever thought you sustain for 17 seconds, the thought that is going to follow it is going to probably be an extension of the thought you just had. So basically, if you're having some kind of negative thought, chances are pretty good that 20 seconds later, 30 seconds later, you're going to continue on with the negative thought patterns. So personally, I've worked in a variety of things over the course of my life, you know, theater being one of them. But one thing that I think it's kind of a consistent thing, no matter what industry or what type of a group that you're interacting with. It's kind of human nature to want to say everything sucks. It, because it gives people the ability to think that they know something about something and they can't do anything about it because it just sucks. So don't bother to put any kind of effort into it. It's an easy sort of an excuse to just be lazy and not try to make better things or try to bring people together in more positive ways. It's just an easy excuse to be apathetic. So the thing about yes and is it starts off positively. However you choose to implement an exercise like this, be it a bunch of actors doing improvisation, be it a creative team trying to come up with an advertising concept, whatever it is, it's if it starts out with one person has an idea and whatever you're going to say or however you're going to respond to whatever has just been said, the rule is very simply in this game, it starts with yes and then whatever it is you want to say comes after. But the rule of it is everything is starts with yes and. And what you can do, there's actually a way to build onto that exercise. And it's kind of like, you know, if you're working with a group of actors, for example, and you start this, it generally takes time for the group of actors or whoever to kind of warm up to each other, to begin to kind of gel and, you know, learn how to communicate with one another and what, you know, what works with some people and what doesn't work. And, you know, just getting to know each other and to know how you dance, so to speak. So you start with the yes and exercise. And then after a while, when the group starts to get it, when you start to see the little light bulbs going on over the tops of the heads, which is, by the way, one of the greatest feelings if you're a teacher or a director or a team leader or whatever, when you see people start to get it and like the eyes light up and the little light bulb goes on over the head, it is the coolest feeling in the world to know, I just got through to people. They just understood. But once you establish that exercise, you add on to it the words, what if? The way that would work is somebody would pitch an exercise or say, you know, we're going to go have an adventure and we're going to do whatever. The response is yes and then whatever you want to respond with. And then the next thing you say is, what if we did this, that, and the other? And then the response to that is, yes, and then however you want to respond. And then what if we did this? And there's the thing about what if. I remember when I first started to study acting, one of the easiest things to do to get yourself into, to sort of drop your state of disbelief, to open up your imagination, is you start up with everything being, what if we were in a spaceship that had just landed in Alaska? What if we were on top of the Empire State Building? What if? And it just opens up the door to all those possibilities. And when somebody responds to your what if with yes and, the cycle of positivity, the cycle of creativity, the cycle of creation just continues to evolve and hopefully to snowball. And with that approach, you come up with these ideas that, frankly, as a group, you couldn't come up with on your own, and everybody feels heard. And that's something I think when it comes to communication in general is we have a lot of problems, I think, in our society and as a species of communicating with one another. And it's not that people particularly have such a hard time talking about things. It's when that was when the talking aspect of it, when that becomes impeded, is when they start to look around and go, nobody's listening to me. I'm not being heard. Why bother to talk? And that's when so many possibilities of a group interaction, of a group creativity just shrivel up and die, is when people, just human beings, need to feel that they're being heard. Whether it be in a creative environment, within a collaborative environment, or just their life in general. we need to feel like we're being heard, that our words are not useless.
And I think another instance of that is we were talking about managing the 100-acre woods the other day. And there's, you know, just different personalities when we, you know, talk about that and we do those trainings for business. And you're Christopher Robbins, if you're familiar with the Winnie the Pooh stories.
And if you're not familiar with Winnie the Pooh stories, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but good news is you can go on Disney Plus or any places. You can get the books really easily. I think you can probably download the PDFs for free and read those. But what is really great about the Winnie the Pooh stories is what you see are different personality traits within the different people in the 100-acre woods. So you have got Rabbit, who's going to be very logical and very, you know, as in a DISC profile, everything's got to be very OCD. You've got Tigger, who gets really excited about his own ideas. You've got Pooh Bear, who's really pretty wise, but doubts themselves and calls themselves a bear of very little brain, but Pooh Bear gets it. You've got Kanga, who likes to nurture everybody. You've got Roo, who in your situation may be the beginner or the intern. Owl, who will just go on and on with these long, boring stories and not really being able to read the room and have people realize, you know, dude, you're just not getting through to people. But he's going to go on and on because he is the smartest person in the room. What the yes and exercise does, if you're meeting with these groups of people, is the Eeyore of the group who might want to sit there and go, no, this is how we've always done it. No, I think I'm going to go ahead and fax you my notes from 1987 just to prove my point. What the yes and does is it kind of, in a nice way, blocks that. Because if you sit there and you tell Eeyore, we've got to stay super positive, and I want to hear your ideas, then all of a sudden, Tigger is not going to end up blocking Eeyore's ideas because Tigger's going to play off of Eeyore's ideas. And all of a sudden, Eeyore's going to get, as Max said, that spark in the eye of going, oh, wait a minute, I have some new ideas. Yay. And that's just a really good way of keeping your team engaged. But, you know, as Max was saying, we're so prone to negativity right now. We're so programmed to that. And what this exercise can do is just reshape that and let people communicate with each other in a very positive way. Because, again, the rules from the get-go are yes and, you've got to say positive. You cannot block offers. And I think when you start to see the possibilities with your team, and I mean, this works with faith based groups, again, arts groups, things like that, business groups, committees. When you are able to see that and people are going with the yes and, you can come up with so, so much more. And then at the end of the day, your team really does feel like they're being heard.
Okay, so let's say you are the leader of some kind of a team that you're trying to build, that you're trying to get people to coordinate and work with each other and interact with each other in positive, productive ways to get the job done as a group. One thing I personally, as a director, always thought was very, very important to do with people is in the world of theater, during the rehearsal process, and particularly early on in the rehearsal process, what I would do is the thing where I would have people switch characters and just, let's just change scripts. And you know, you're playing character A, you're playing character B. Well, now you're going to switch. And the reason for that is you try to get people to metaphorically walk a mile in someone else's shoes. That way you have an understanding of the character. And when you have an understanding of your character and the other person's characters and how they interact with each other or maybe don't interact with each other, it gives you the ability to understand the situation better, to understand the bigger picture, which I'll say the whole understanding of the bigger picture is what led me to really wanted to get into directing, because you see the bigger picture. But if you get the individual actors or the members of the team or whatever the situation may be, if you get them to understand how the other people, how the other parts of the machine, so to speak, work and interact with each other, it enables them to communicate better. And when you understand the other people, it's just, and this is getting away from the idea of actors and corporate teams and sports teams and things like that and other such groups. I think it just helps you to understand other people better in that you are able to communicate more intelligently, particularly emotionally intelligently. Because one thing I will say as I have gotten older and been around my fellow human beings for 60 years now, is if you leave the door open to have people contribute whatever it is they want to contribute, whatever may have happened to them in their life, and especially some of the difficult stuff, there are things I will say about people in my life. I will not specifically name anyone, but I kind of look back with a fair amount of regret, which I don't have a lot of, but I look back with a fair amount of regret that after they were not here anymore and some time has passed and then we're having a discussion, I'm having a discussion with somebody about the person who had passed away, and then they'll say, well, did you know, for example, that that person spent some time in prison? Did you know that person attempted suicide? And it's like, no, I didn't. I had no idea. And I wish I had known these things because it would have helped me to understand and communicate with that person better, but I did not have that opportunity because the other person felt like, I cannot share this information with Max because he will think less of me or he'll not respect me. The thing I really regret about that is that's not what would have happened. I would not have felt the way that I did, or just I would not have felt the way that they thought I would feel. It would have helped me to go, oh, I understand why you are the way you are, or at least it helps me to understand better. And that would help me to communicate. What do I need to listen for when I hear you talk? How can we help each other? And
that's what could the potential triggers be?
Yeah,
definitely.
But you don't get that when you're in an environment of you can say some things but not others, and you really don't find that compassion for other people unless you understand where they're coming from, and they can talk, but you got to listen.
I think the biggest barrier a lot of times to creativity is one word, judgment. Mm-hmm. And yeah. If you are constantly judging and evaluating yourself and you worry about other people judging and evaluating you, you're never going to get off the starting block. And sometimes you just got to go in, you know, again, as writers, we talk about just go ahead and spew that word vomit right from the get-go. That first draft's not going to be as strong as maybe once you've had a chance to massage it, but you got to start somewhere. And the yes and helps you start somewhere. What's so fun about this game is when, you know, we've talked about with younger people, and in addition to yes and, what I've done is also ask with younger people, you know, kids sometimes who are like 6 to 10, if you were boss, what would you do? What in your mind makes a good boss? And that was kind of an extension of a yes and. And they came up with some really good stuff, like I would be honest. I wouldn't yell. I wouldn't get mad if people made mistakes. And I'm like, these are all really sound management mantras. You guys should be doing a TED talk. And then I said, well, what kind of benefits would you like to offer? And what I really loved was, you know, some of them did know, you know, insurance and things like that. But other kids were like, I would offer strawberry ice cream and hot dogs on Fridays. And it was like, oh my gosh, that is a great idea. Who would not want to come into the office on a Friday or a Thursday or whatever? If you knew for lunch, everybody was going to go into the break room, or maybe if it's a nice day, go outside and have hot dogs and strawberry ice cream and talk to each other. And literally it was from the mouth of babes. But what those kids knew is that I was going to be open to their ideas and I respected them. And I'm like, you know what, guys? Those are really good ideas. And when I have actually mentioned this in networking events or management events, you can see other people thinking like, I need to think more like a kid. That's really good. And I'm like, it builds camaraderie. It builds a team. Hot dogs and strawberry ice cream are not going to bankrupt you. I mean, depending on how many employees you've got, it could be anywhere from, you know, 50, 60 bucks to maybe a couple of hundred bucks, but you were buying so much goodwill and all of a sudden work's not being looked at as this drudgery, but like, hey, we get to have hot dogs and strawberry chocolate, whatever, ice cream. And it's that creativity, but when we judge ourselves and when instead of doing the yes and, it's the no but or the no and. You know, I think about the movie with Jim Carrey called Yes Man. And his entire life, he would just say, I don't want to go and do this and do that. And I've, and Max and I have both said that. I mean, there's times when we've gone, I don't want to go and do this. It's a pain in the butt. I'd rather stay home and write or do my own thing or whatever. And so we've been going on Monday afternoons to these classes and these workshops. And it's a little bit of a drive. It was quite the drive yesterday. But at the end of the day, it was like we met new people, we got new ideas. I'm so glad we did the yes and we did the affirmative to ourselves rather than saying, hey, forget it. I'm going to do what I've always done. And that's where innovation doesn't happen, is let's, you know, the Eeyore mindset of let's do it the way we've always done it. And when you sit down with little kids and you do ask them, and what is really cool is when an adult asks them a question and they are being respected and their ideas are being respected, not put down like, oh, well, isn't that cute? That'll never work in the real world, but you're adorable when you're, but when as an adult, I'm doing the, yes, and, oh, I could see doing this and doing that. That sounds like fun. And then they're like, yeah. You just never know where those creative resources are coming from. And just offering a positive place for people to start, it means so much. You know, so if you're going to take anything away from this podcast today, give yourself that permission. When I teach another improv class and we do the library, and basically what I have my students do is they take a pretend book off the shelf. I have them describe the cover, the title. I coach them through the first page, what's happening in the middle, and then what's happening at the end. Now, some people are writers and they've had this idea, but they've been afraid to voice it because they don't think it's a good idea. And then other people have completely come up with great ideas on the spot. And what I tell them is develop it. It does not cost you any money to go ahead and develop an idea. You're not mowing down trees. You're not bringing in heavy equipment. You're bringing in heavy equipment in your mind. But it just makes you feel good when you create those worlds and you're creating, whether you're painting, whether you're cooking, whether you're doing poetry, whether you're writing music. When you give yourself that permission, you give yourself that yes and, so many worlds open up for you. But, and it's hard because again, we're so prone to negativity. We see that in the news every day. I remember a Mary Tyler Moore episode where she's like, I want to do a show about an honest politician who does good things. And so they went ahead and did that and they finished it and people just turned and went, Mary, that was so boring and our ratings are terrible. And she's like, why don't people want to see positive things? And Mr. Grant, you know, just kind of said, Mary, you know, it was sort of the mentality of if it bleeds, it leads. But what I think you can take away from that is that that's not a mindset you need to stay in. That is a mindset that will bring you down. It will curb your creativity. And I think at the end of the day, give yourself that permission to do the yes and, even if it's for a half an hour a day. When I can sit down and write a few pages of a script or a novel, and again, that's my creative process, or, you know, try a new recipe that I'm just thinking I'm going to try new ingredients. It just makes so much of a difference of how I feel about myself and then what I, the energy I can bring to other projects.
Okay, so story time. This is what you don't want to do. Okay. many, many lifetimes ago when I was in my 20s, we were going through a period living in Miami, Florida in the summer, where it just gets very, very hot and people frankly don't go out. Not much particularly goes on. And it's just a very thumb twiddling sort of waiting around for stuff to happen kind of experience. And to be honest, I don't do well with that personally. So I saw one day, one very boring day, that there was an audition for a particular theatrical thing down in Miami. Will not mention the name. It wasn't my thing particularly, but they were having an audition, and to be honest, I was bored, and I was like, well, let's just go have fun. So I went down to this thing and got there one evening, and there was myself and several other people, and there was a couple of the company members that we were auditioning with, and the guy who was leading the group. And so we're in this little, like, you know, 7,500 seat theater, and there's some guy, some old guy, sitting all the way in the back in the shadows, did not introduce himself, did not say a word to anybody, none of that. So we got up there and we did the audition. It was this play, playing sort of, you know, improvisational games and stuff like that. And it was fine. It was, you know, it was fairly non-eventful. But I mean, to be honest, I didn't, if I got cast in the thing, great. If I didn't, I honestly didn't care. So we all let, you know, and we would all get up on stage and just, you know, talk about ourselves and what other projects we were going. I was doing a lot of writing projects at the time, and I talked about that. And everybody sort of, you know, got up and did the same thing and just kind of chit-chatted and introduced themselves. And then we did the improv games, and then we all went away. So, okay, fine. That, I believe, was on a Monday. I was living with my mom and dad. The following Sunday, back in the days when we actually got Sunday, giant Sunday newspapers, one Sunday morning, I'm in the shower and my mom goes, they wrote about you in the paper. And I went, what are you talking about? And I got out of the shower and I started reading this thing that was pretty close to the front page of the art section of the Miami Herald. It was pretty prominent. And talking about this guy sat through this audition and a bunch of us no talent slobs pretty much walked through the place. We had stars in our eyes, and how the guy leading the group was going to have to break all of our hearts and let us all down, which was complete crap. Oh, wow. And I'm reading this thing and I got reviewed at an audition that I didn't bloody care about. And everything in this guy, I was just reading this guy's article and I was like, do you have one positive thing to say about anything? No, that's pretty apparent. And my mom, being my mom, started looking up other articles that this guy had written, and every bloody thing the guy wrote was about how much everything sucks, how, you know, nobody can do anything any good, there's nobody worth trusting anymore, we're in a, you know, humanity is in a de-evolution, we're all a bunch of dumb schmoes, and everything like that. And I'm just going, my God, as a young, creative human being, I was just, I don't even know that I have the words. I just, there were so many. Why, if everything you have to say about everything is so negative, why bother? It's, you know, certainly the world is not all hearts and flowers and lollipops and unicorns. There's some stuff out there worth getting very upset about, granted. But if that's all you're seeing, you're not getting the whole picture. I've worked in food service for on and off for quite a few years. One thing I find is sort of a constant is that you have the people who really run these businesses, and all they hear is the complaining, and you know, this is broken and this needs to be fixed, and this person's paycheck was screwed up, and they're hearing nothing but the complaining. They're hearing nothing but the negatives and all of that. And
You're talking about an episode of The Bear, right? Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, it applies to so many different groups in life, but just my own personal point of reference is, you know, food service and theater, that if that's all you're seeing, if that's, you know, you're not getting the whole picture. And I would take it upon myself because I saw this same sort of pattern repeat itself from one group to the next, to the next, to the next. And it's, I sort of took it upon myself to be like, okay, but look at what's good. Look at what works. Look at what's on point. All you're seeing is the stuff. And a lot of it, to be honest with you, is the minutia. You're just seeing the negatives. You're just seeing what needs to be fixed. And it draws attention from all the stuff that you and or the group are doing that is so excellent, so on point, so masterful, so positive in the world, but we lose sight of that because negativity is just the easiest thing to drop into. And it gives people the opportunity to think they know everything they need to know about everything in the world and they don't have to go out and learn anything new because let's take a big old broad paintbrush and paint everything with it. It sucks. Everything's terrible. Nothing works. Nobody's worth trusting. There's no good people out there. It's the easiest thing to fall into. And we're all human beings and we all do it. I've certainly done it myself. But there just comes a point where you really have got to take a moment and view the entire picture. And one thing I would say, whatever your personal practices may or may not be regarding self-care, regarding spirituality, regarding whatever, take a couple minutes every day and consciously think about the stuff in your life that is really working really good and that you're really grateful for. You have to do that even and especially during the really bad times. Take that inventory every day and say, wait a minute, okay, we may be having problems with this, this, and this, but look at all this other stuff. Look at how well this is working. And you have to take that time to view the totality of the situation. Basically, a simple little game like yes and to open those doors. And you're not acknowledging that, you know, everything is wonderful, but you're acknowledging the reality of whatever it is that's going on and the inherent positivity that is contained within, because we just forget that. We just forget it because it's just the easiest thing is to sit there and go, everything sucks, I'm tired, and I'm not going to deal with it anymore. That's a shame.
So kids, if you're listening to this, click out of the trolls. People troll and do things negatively on purpose because they know that they'll get more of a reaction from something really awful and negative than the positive yes and. So if you understand that mindset, it's a lot easier to combat it. And just click out, say yes and, wow, look at all the cool things around me. Look at the beautiful trees today. I got to see a deer, a mommy deer and a baby deer or whatever. I saw some dogs being walked and they were really happy being walked. Those are the things you need to focus on. All right. So anyway, guys, I hope this has been helpful. Go forth, do your yes and, be positive. Don't let a negative person bring you down because they're just looking to spread more of that negative energy. But yeah, take that little bit of time. Maybe talk to a random stranger and tell them, wow, that's a really great outfit. Or, hey, let me hold the door for you. Or, isn't your dog adorable? And when you, again, when you take the time to do that and you see the look on that person's face and it's positive, it really raises you up. So, yeah, that's the creative prompt for this week. Say something nice to somebody and practice the yes and.
Just, you know, finally, just to say, simple, random acts of kindness and positivity have so much more ramifications than you're really conscious of. It's you can really turn somebody's day around. You can really turn somebody's life around with just the well-placed moments of, yeah, that's a great idea. What else you got to say? You know, I'll just close that one thing. One guy I always really, really, really liked. I've always been a fan of David Lee Roth. I remember seeing an interview with him one time and he said, my job is to hand out smiles. You know, it's like, here's a smile. Hey, that smile looks really good on you. Here's another. And that smile looks great on you. Have another smile. Oh, you guys are all smiling. Your smiles look so great here. Have more. I love that. And I really try as best as I can to have that same philosophy. So All this being said, guys, I hope this helps. If you know of anyone that these podcasts would just benefit them in some form or fashion, please pass them along. If you have the ability, please support us on Patreon. You know, as the kids say, hit that subscribe button or whatever, whatever the kids are doing on the internet these days, I don't really know. But thank you guys for everything. I sincerely hope this helps. So carry on, go forward. Don't let the schmucks get you down. And do me a favor, keep being you. All my love, guys. Until next time.
Thanks, guys. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
We appreciate you guys tuning in, and keep in mind that you can catch us on our social media, Creative Actors Lab on Instagram and Facebook, and by the same name on YouTube. And for more on what we do, you can go to our website,
creativeactorslab.com, all one word. Thank you for listening. Stay curious, make art.org. Much love until next time.